Coming up on KUCB News, a member of the Trump administration visits Southwest Alaska, and rural residents are expecting higher prices at the pump. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, May 7th, 2018. Gas prices in western Alaska could jump later this month. As sea ice breaks up north and barges carry fuel into rural communities, companies may adjust their prices to match the cost of oil, which has been rising since the fall. KDLG's Izzy Ross has more.
Western Alaska is likely to see a jump in fuel prices this month. Mike Poston is director of sales at Vitus Energy, a company that services around 200 communities from the Aleutian Chain to the Kotzebue Sound. He anticipates that consumers will see higher prices by the end of May.
West Coast crude on May 1st of 2017 was $50.69 a barrel. On May 1st of 2018, it's $72.18 a barrel. For ANS crude, the difference amounts to 51 cents a gallon. Refined products is probably pretty similar to that. You put sales tax on top of that, and you know, it's pretty significant.
Bristol Bay Industrial Fuels President and CEO Robert Cox said in an email that world oil prices have risen substantially since BBI received the last shipping in September. The company expects to pay more for fuel this summer, which will then show at the pump. Consumers in rural areas are likely to see such a jump in prices because transportation of fuel to rural Alaska occurs mainly during summer months when waterways are free of ice. Most terminal operators store a certain amount of product during the winter. That allows them to sell fuel at last year's prices until barges arrive carrying new fuel at current market prices.
The price of gasoline at the pump in Anchorage has been going up almost every week all winter long. The folks in Vitus service area, they haven't seen those increases. And the benefit is that they haven't had to pay the steadily increasing price every time they go to fuel up. But that does make it more of a shock when it does finally hit.
Poston cautions that the rise in fuel prices isn't guaranteed. But sooner or later, an increase in crude oil prices is typically reflected in consumer pocketbooks. In communities like Dillingham, that increase will probably be sooner.
As the cost goes up, the price has to go up. And I mean, we don't know exactly how much that's going to be. We don't know exactly the date that's going to happen. But we just know that it's coming.
Asked who might experience this price increase, Poston's answer was simple. Every community in Western Alaska. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
Alaska boat owners will likely be required to meet new registration and title requirements next year. The change is part of Senate Bill 92, which passed through the legislature last week. As KBBI's Aaron Bolton reports, the bill aims to give the state, cities, and individuals more tools to hold owners of derelict vessels accountable.
The bill makes three significant changes. It would make it easier to track vessel ownership via state boat registration requirements and a new titling program. It also lowers the legal bar to hold derelict vessel owners liable and would create a derelict vessel prevention program. Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators Executive Secretary Rachel Lord worked with a statewide task force to craft the bill. She says the new registration and title requirements would create a better paper trail for vessel ownership.
It ends up people saying, oh, no, that's not my boat. That's that guy's boat. I sold it to him yesterday for, you know, $15 on a bar napkin. And it sounds kind of silly and trite, but it happens all the time all over the state.
Currently, federally documented vessels are not required to register with the state, but that would change under the new law. Non-federally documented boats over 24 feet would also be required to have a title of ownership. Homer Harbor Master Brian Hawkins also worked on the state task force. He says the bill would specifically help ports and harbors track down owners of federally documented boats at risk of becoming a problem, which he says tend to be old commercial fishing vessels.
We didn't know how many documented vessels were actually operating in the state, and it's that fleet that oftentimes would become the future derelict vessels. So, you know, some of those as they just age out.
The bill also allows the state and municipalities to impose civil penalties, and individuals could take action against owners of derelict vessels in civil court. Currently, derelict vessel owners can only be charged criminally, but the law also imposes stiffer penalties for those found guilty. Holly Wells is Homer's city attorney and is a shareholder at Birch, Horton, Bittner, and Shiro in Anchorage. Wells helped the task force craft the bill's language, and she says the legislation not only lowers the legal bar, but it also clears the path for small communities and villages to give notice, impound, and scrap derelict boats.
Communities like Homer that have the resources to removing derelict vessels and have the luxury of contacting legal counsel to help craft local laws have been very lucky because they've been able to address this issue pretty efficiently. But the communities that don't have that, those resources, haven't had the ability to take care of the problem.
Portions of the bill would not go into effect right away. It tasked the State Department of Natural Resources with creating a derelict vessel prevention program, which would be funded by title fees. Hawkins says the program's largest undertaking would be creating a cradle-to-grave plan for vessels in an effort to make sure vessels are disposed of properly.
When you look at the fleet with a critical eye, you'll realize that it is aging. There's a lot of vessels that are getting, you know, in the 30s, 40s, 50-year-old range, and many of these will eventually become vessels that will need to be disposed of.
It's not clear when the bill might be signed into law, but Governor Walker has 90 days to either approve or reject the legislation. The bill would go into effect January 1st, 2019. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
U.S. Energy Secretary Rick Perry visited Southwest Alaska last week. He toured Kodiak's electrical grid that's powered almost entirely by renewable energy. Then he made a short detour to the smaller community of Old Harbor, which is still working on a long-time plan to develop renewable power of its own. KMXT's Mitch Borden reports.
Rick Burns has been the mayor of Old Harbor for years, and it doesn't seem like that long ago to him when the school had over 100 students. But now?
I think I was told yesterday there was 26. I thought we had 33, but I guess currently we only have 26.
Old Harbor, along with other villages in the Kodiak Archipelago, are having to deal with their populations dropping.
People are migrating out of the villages and looking for jobs and economic stability.
Old Harbor has a plan, according to Burns, to slow its out-migration. The community wants to improve its harbor and start a fish processing plant to develop its economy and keep people in town. There's one problem, though. To entice a company to build a processing plant, the village needs access to cheap and reliable energy. Right now, the community mostly relies on diesel for its power, which can be expensive, and its price often fluctuates. Burns says there is an answer to Old Harbor's energy trouble, hydroelectricity. Since the 1980s, he says the community has been working on a project to generate energy from a local river called Lagoon Creek.
It's pretty much a run-of-the-river style hydro project, and it has a capacity of maybe 500 kilowatts a generation.
Even though Old Harbor knows how it wants to incorporate hydroelectricity into its electric grid, it still hasn't started construction on the project. That's because it took years and a lot of money, says Burns, for the village to meet all the requirements needed to move forward. And now the community still needs to raise about $11 million to build everything. It was these challenges that inspired Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski to bring Secretary of Energy Rick Perry to Old Harbor. They were on a trip to Kodiak to see its power grid that's almost completely powered by hydro and wind energy. Murkowski brought Secretary Perry to the village so he could better understand the challenges facing some of Alaska's smaller communities.
For him to see how innovation in a place like Kodiak has helped facilitate an economy and see how a smaller area is struggling with an economy, but could have the potential to do so much more if they only had a small renewable energy project.
Murkowski would like to see permitting reform that allows smaller hydroelectric projects like Old Harbor's be cleared faster and for less money. Secretary Perry and the Department of Energy doesn't control permitting for hydroelectricity projects. But Murkowski still wanted him to see how places like Kodiak and Old Harbor are being creative in their efforts to reduce energy costs.
My hope is that he goes back to Washington and he's able to say, you ought to see what they're doing in Alaska and how they're doing it. They're taking the lead and they're showing the rest of the country and the rest of the world how to really innovate when it comes to energy.
Rick Burns, Old Harbor's mayor, says Senator Murkowski and Secretary Perry were only able to stay in the village for about an hour. But he says the time the community got with them meant a lot.
For them to actually come to our community and get to know us and show concern, and it's humbling and it's a great honor.
Secretary Perry seemed energized by what he had learned as he left the village, according to Burns. He doesn't expect anything will come from the visit, but he thinks it's valuable that someone in President Trump's administration knows about Old Harbor's situation. After leaving Kodiak, Secretary Perry continued north. The secretary only had 2 days in Alaska and spent the second one in Prudhoe Bay meeting with representatives from the oil and gas industry. In Kodiak, I'm Mitch Borden.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.